6-year-old Iran Supreme National Security Council urges P5+1 to interact with Tehran logically. Iranian Parliament Speaker calls for Iran-India cooperation to prevent powerful countries from taking control of energy choke points. Iran's Islamic Revolution Guard Corps wraps up its ground and air military exercises. And Syria's foreign minister says government is ready to hold talks with armed opposition to end violence. In the name of God, the compassionate, and the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of IRIN and English News with me, Nima Chitsas. Secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council has urged edition of IRIN and English News with me, Nima Chitsas. Secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council has urged the P5+1 to interact with Tehran and recognize its nuclear rights with no conditions in order to get rid of their current problems. In a meeting with Kazakhstan's President Nursultan Nazarbayev and Almaty, before a new round of talks between Iran and the group in the city, Saeed Jalili said, the international community expects the P5+1 group's constructive, logical, and reliable answers to Iran's comprehensive proposals presented during the Moscow meeting. He said certain powers should know that by relying on nuclear weapons and exerting various pressures on the Iranian nation, they will not be able to dissuade the Islamic Republic from achieving its peaceful nuclear rights. Jalili further said the common stances of Iran and Kazakhstan on global disarmament and the proliferation of nuclear weapons would provide an appropriate ground for the implementation of the NPT. He emphasized that sustainable security in the region depends on cooperation among regional countries to draw up new strategies aimed at countering common threats. Iran and the P5+1, Russia, China, France, Britain, the US and Germany are scheduled to hold negotiations in Almaty on Tuesday. The talks will cover a wide range of topics, including Iran's nuclear energy program. The last round of negotiations between Iran and the P5+1 group was held in Moscow in June 2012. The Speaker of the Iranian Majlis or the Parliament has called for Iran-India cooperation to prevent powerful countries from taking control of energy choke points. On a meeting with the Speaker of Mahar Chakra Legislative Assembly in Mumbai, Ali Larijani said, certain governments are disrupting energy flow under the pretext of anti-Iran sanctions. He said they are pursuing other long-term objectives in order to control energy choke points. Therefore, both Iran and India should collaborate to prevent others from seizing this choke point. He noted that Iran favors sustainable economic ties with the Indian state of Maharashtra due to its economic significance. Larijani estimated at $16 billion, the volume of trade exchange between Iran and India, hoping for broader cooperation in agricultural, industrial, and energy sectors. On February 13, an Indian government source said New Delhi will provide insurance coverage for Indian refineries that import crude oil from Iran in defiance of the US-led sanctions against Iranian energy sector. Iran's Islamic Revolution Guard Corps, IRGC, has wrapped up its ground and air military exercises codenamed Peygamber Azam 8, meaning the Great Prophet 8, in eastern part of the country. On the last day of the maneuvers on Monday, IRGC tanks launched massive airstrikes against the positions of mock enemy. The drills were held in eastern regions of the country, including the cities of Kerman and Sirjan. On the final day of the war games, the IRGC forces used Tundar and Tosan anti-armor missiles, anti-helicopter Katyusha rocket launchers, new tank shells, anti-aircraft guns, 20mm, 23mm, and 30mm autocannons, as well as different types of reconnaissance and combat drones. The three-day drills also involved the use of various techniques and tactics of passive defense and asymmetric warfare. During the drills, the IRGC ground forces attacked mock enemy positions using intelligence provided by surveillance drones. Special modern warfare units conducted drills and various types of unmanned aerial vehicles were also tested. Over the past few years, Iran has held several military drills to enhance the defense capabilities of its armed forces and to test modern military tactics and equipment. Medical tourism is a form of tourism in which people travel to more medically advanced countries in treatment. Iran has also become a hot destination for tourists seeking medical treatment. My colleague has filed a report on the issue.
Ardabil province in northwest Iran has tens of tourism and historical attractions. That brings hundreds of thousands of domestic and foreign tourists to the province each year.
Where are you from?
I'm from Germany. I come from Autriche.
How did you find this complex?
Oh, I find this complex beautiful. Wonderful. This complex is wonderful for me.
Siz Azərbaycanın İran millətini nə dediniz?
Çox qonaqpərvər, sakit, normal, hər şey halı.
Ardabil's tourism industry has in recent years witnessed the arrival of what is called medical or health tourists.
And here is Iran and Baku border, where hundreds of people from Azerbaijan Republic enter to Iran every day. Hardan gəlibsiniz?
Cəlləbaddan, Azərbaycandan.
Neçəminci var özü İran gəlirsiniz?
Valla 5-6 dəfədir.
Nə gəlirsiniz İrana?
İndi hal-hazırda həkimə gəlirəm mən.
İran həkimləri necə görürsünüz?
Gedib gələnlər söhbət edir, yaxşıdır.
Every day more than 1,300 people enter the province from this border. During the past 9 months, more than 600,000 citizens of Azerbaijan Republic have entered Iran through Bilisavar customs. This is an increase of 18% compared to the same period last year. From Bilasavar, they go to provincial capital of Ardabil, which is the destination of the majority of these patients.
The quality of care at Iranian hospitals is very satisfactory, and that is why we have brought our patient here for better medical treatment. My daughter is ill, and I'm bringing her to Ardabil for surgery.
This year, our university has received more than 800 patients from the Republic of Azerbaijan who were provided with desirable treatment in various hospitals. This is an increase of 84% compared with last year, and with the recent purchase of radiotherapy machine, we have witnessed another increase in the arrival of domestic and foreign patients.
These health tourists, when not receiving treatment, spend their free time in markets and bazaars or visit historical and tourist attractions of the province.
I'm buying some gifts and souvenirs for my daughter and daughter-in-law from Ardabil.
Enjoying tourism attractions, visiting religious, historical and natural sites are on the agenda of tourists from Azerbaijan Republic. The existence of natural hot spring spas in Iran, such as in Sarin, is another reason tourists are attracted to this province for therapy.
Həkimimiz demişdi ki, gəl burada, yaxşı sular var, get o suya da biraz müalicə al.
Where are you from?
I'm from China.
How did you find this spa?
Oh, it's very, you know, enjoyable. And, you know, I have pain on my back before, but now I feel very good.
Now, the presence of these medical or health tourists has helped flourish the economy in Ardabil province.
On the average, every tourist spends $200 during his or her stay in the province, 50% of which is for medical. Purposes and the rest is spent on transportation, lodging, food and souvenirs.
Based on these calculations, on the average each year 150,000 foreign patients come to Ardabil province for medical treatment, which generates $30 million of income for the province. Salim Mohajeri reporting for Oiraginen from Ardabil in northwest of Iran.
And now a recap of our top stories. Secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council urges P5+1 to interact with Iran logically. Iranian Parliament Speaker calls for Iran-India cooperation to prevent powerful countries from taking control of energy choke points. Iran's Islamic Revolution Guard Corps wraps up its ground and air military exercises. And Syria's foreign minister says government is ready to hold talks with armed opposition to end violence. Palestinian officials blame Zionist regime for heightened tension across the region due to torture and killing of another prisoner in a Zionist regime jail. Thousands of demonstrators also marched in the West Bank to protest against Zionist regime. They participated in the funeral procession for a Palestinian detainee who was killed after being tortured in a Zionist regime jail. The death of the prisoner on Saturday and a hunger strike by four other prisoners have raised tension in the West Bank. Some 4,700 Palestinians are in Zionist regime jails.
For sure, we need freedom for our prisoners, and they must be released. The Israelis bear the responsibility. They face our children and kill them. They are carrying rifles with live bullets, and they are shooting live bullets and killing our children.
Tensions in the occupied territory of the state of Palestine are on the rise, unfortunately, because of the practices of the occupation. Settler attacks against ordinary Palestinians is on the rise. The raids of the Israeli army also against Palestinian cities and towns have increased sharply. That's in addition to the rising tensions inside Israeli prisons, where a Palestinian detainee has lost his life, where others are in real danger of losing their lives because they're on hunger strike, demanding justice and freedom and protesting their unlawful detention.
Syria's foreign minister says his government is ready to hold talks with the armed opposition to end the violence that has ravaged the country. In a meeting with his Russian counterpart, Vali Dumalimsad, Syria was confident that reforms will come about not with the help of bloodshed, but through dialogue. Lavrov, for his part, also urged Damascus to hold negotiations with the opposition, saying, "The situation in Syria is at a crossroad now." The Russian foreign minister also emphasized that Moscow's stand on Syria is not determined by the support of certain people, but by Russia's care for the future of the Syrian people. Syria has been experiencing unrest since mid-March 2011. Many people, including large numbers of security personnel, have been killed in the violence. The Syrian government says the chaos is being orchestrated from outside the country, and there are reports that a very large number of the militants are foreign nationals. Meantime, one civilian has been hurt in a rebel mortar attack that hit a church in the Syrian capital city of Damascus. The attack was carried out by foreign-backed terrorists in the central district of Qassa. Christians make up about 5% of the population in Syria, which has been experiencing unrest for nearly 2 years. In an interview recently broadcast on German television, Syrian President Bashar al-Assad said the government did not start the conflict and that it was the foreign-sponsored militant groups who were killing Syrian people and destroying the country's infrastructure. Several international human rights organizations have also accused the militants of committing war crimes. The Iranian demonstrators are staging a sit-in protest in the capital, Manama, demanding the release of a protester's body shot dead by Saudi-backed security forces. 20-year-old Mahmoud Issa al-Jaziri sustained fatal head injuries after being directly hit by a tear gas canister fired by regime forces during anti-regime demonstrations. The Iranian authorities have so far made no comment on Jaziri's reported death, but main opposition bloc Al-Wafaq said the protester died in the hospital early on Friday after a week in coma. The Iranian regime has refused to hand over Jaziri's body to his family ever since. Since mid-February 2011, thousands of pro-democracy protesters have staged numerous demonstrations in the streets of Bahrain, calling for the Al Khalifa royal family to relinquish power. According to local sources, scores of people have been killed and hundreds arrested. Egypt's president has called for talks with opposition groups to ensure the integrity and transparency of the upcoming parliamentary elections of April 22nd. In a televised speech, Mohamed Morsi also dismissed allegations that the elections were ill-timed. Morsi also stated that he was the president of all Egyptians and that he had no fight with any political force in the country. This is why a prominent Egyptian opposition leader, Mohamed El-Baradei, has recommended that President Morsi refrain from the country's upcoming parliamentary elections, saying the polls may lead to chaos and instability in the country. Egypt's elections come at a time when unrest, insecurity, and an economic crisis are plaguing the North African country. The country is deeply divided, with opposition groups accusing the president of trying to monopolize power, a claim that Morsi denies. And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of IRI and in English News. Join us tomorrow for the latest updates. Goodbye.